Nabalada Gini Banada Di Jasodanandana Branja Janudanjana Jasodanandana Branja Janudanjana Jamuna Tira Vana Chadi Jamuna Tira Vana Chadi Vana Chadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjami Hadi Madhava Kunjabi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Haji Kunjabi Haji Gopi Jana Balabha Giri Bhadadhadi Jana Balabha Giri Bhadadhadi Gopi Jana Balabha Giri Bhadadhadi Jana Balabha Giri Bhadadhadi Jasoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana Jasoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachadi Jamuna Tira Vanachadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hadi Madhava Kunjabi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hadi Madhava Jaya Om Vishnu Pad Parabhansa. Sri Madhya's Divine Grace is the Bhakti Vedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavarinda Ki Granta Rajshrimad Bhagavatam Ki Gaur Premanandi. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Text 42 from Canto 10, Chapter 23. Oho Pashyata Nadinam Api Krishne Jagat Gurau Daranta Bhavam Yo Vidyan Mrityu Pashan Grahabhidhan Oho Pashyata Nadinam Api Krishne Jagat Gurau Duranta Bhavam Yo Vidyan Mrityu Pashan Grahabhidhan Ho Pashyatanadinam Api Krishne Jagat Garau Upashyat Narinam. Aho pashyata, just see, narinam, of these women, api, even, krishne, for Lord Krishna, jagat gurau, the spiritual master of the entire universe, duranta, unlimited, Bhavam, the devotion, Yaha, which Avidyat has broken, Mrityu, of death, Pashan, the bonds, Griha Abhidhan, known as family life. So the previous verse has no purport. Was that read yesterday or this morning? I'll read it this morning. And text 42. So 41, the Brahmanas are speaking. The illusory potency of the Supreme Lord is certainly bewilders even the great mystics. What to speak of us? As Brahmanas, we are supposed to be the spiritual masters of all classes of men, yet we have been bewildered about our own real interest. Text 42. Just see the unlimited love these women have developed for Lord Krishna, the spiritual master of the entire universe. This love has broken for them the very bonds of death, namely their attachment to family life. On purport, superficially, the husbands, fathers, fathers-in-law, and so on were the ladies' gurus or teachers. Yet, the women had become perfect in Krishna consciousness, whereas the men had fallen into the darkness of ignorance. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, upon returning home, the ladies showed transcendental ecstatic symptoms, such as trembling of the body, shedding of tears, standing of bodily hairs on end, discoloration of the complexion, crying out, "Oh, pleasure of my life, oh, Krishna," with faltering words, and so forth. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti goes on to state that while one may object that it is not fitting for a woman to love anyone other than her husband, here the husbands themselves point out that they are gurus in imitation of the Supreme Lord, who is Jagat Guru, the universal teacher and spiritual master. The husbands noted that the women, having perfected their transcendental attachment for Krishna, did not have even a trace of attachment left for home, husband, children, and so forth. Therefore, from that day on, the husbands accepted those ladies as their worshipable spiritual masters and no longer thought of them as their wives or property. This is beyond the bodily conception of life, so we don't think like that.
for these ladies. I'm going to read Jiva Goswami's commentary and then the details of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. Jiva Goswami writes, "We are much inferior to these women." In this way, they lament in three verses. This is the first of the three. Aho indicates astonishment. Quote, "It is wrong for women to be attracted to other men." Unquote. "But they have love for the guru of the universe, who is far superior to their husbands. Their prema, bhavam, has cut off bondage of death. This means they surpassed attraction to family life immediately." And here is the detail of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. "The brahmanas said, as their husbands, fathers, and fathers-in-law, we are superficially the gurus or teachers of these women, but these women have attained perfection in Krishna consciousness, whereas we have fallen into the blind well of ignorance," unquote. That is expressed in this verse. The brahmanas said, "These women possess a love for Krishna which is impossible for us to understand." This line here. Duranta bhavam. Just see, pashyata, the prema they are showing towards Krishna. Paragraph. The syllable ha in aho, joy or surprise, this syllable ha indicates that upon returning home, the ladies displayed ecstatic symptoms, such as trembling, shedding tears, hair standing on end, and calling out in choked voices, "Oh, pleasure of my life, oh, Krishna." The brahmanas continued, "But it is not fitting for a woman to love anyone other than her husband, though women should regard their husbands as guru. What can one say when the Supreme Lord, who is Jagat Guru, the universal teacher and spiritual master, appears directly before them? They have developed their love for the guru of the universe, Krishna, and now don't have even a trace of attachment for home, husband, children, and so forth. As we no longer see those attachments in them, they are our gurus." Unquote. From that day on, the husbands accepted those ladies as their worshipable spiritual masters and no longer thought of them as their wives or property. That's his short commentary from text 41, Vishwanath. The brahmanas said, "If the yogis who practice Ashtanga yoga also become bewildered, then what can be said of us who are involved in so much karma? Although we are the spiritual masters of others, Maya has bewildered us about the real goal of our lives." Krishna's pastimes are very deep. In Bhurijan Prabhu's approach to Bhagavatam study, the system that he applies in teaching, it's from the VIHE, is when you read the verse in purport, you try to discern what's the main point. And then secondarily, there's cultural points, which isn't the main point, but it's important. So that's a category over there, a cultural point. And that system, I know that system has changed, but when I became acquainted with the Bhakti Riksha format, it was the same system. Some of you in the room, you'll remember. Radha Gopal introduced us to that system. And it was a nice system. Somebody would read a paragraph, and then the facilitator had his pen ready, and, okay, what's the main point? And people would say what they thought the main point was and try to reach consensus on what's the main point, allowing there may be secondary points, but what's the main point? And then over there goes cultural points. So there's some cultural points, and there's the main point here as well. A cultural point is the function of women in relationship with their husbands, and the function of the husbands in relationship with their wives. Of course, now this is speaking about qualified men and qualified women, but the principle is the qualified husband has a qualification and a duty to give instruction like guru would give instruction to a disciple. But of course it's specific in that there's a family situation going on, and so there's other activities that the guru does in relation, that the husband does in relation to the wife and children. But that's an element. And there's obviously an intimacy or a connection with guru that's not with their husband, that's not the same as someone that's not their husband. So that's a cultural point. And celebrated personalities in Vedic history have their exaltedness rests upon, for ladies, rests upon that fidelity to their husband, the chaste Gandhari and so forth and so on. And Prabhupada's teaching on this point is this is the power, the shakti of a woman is that chastity to husband. Now, there are so many other things that could be said about what if the husband is fallen and what if the husband is unqualified and so many considerations. One of the stories that I've heard Prabhupada say many times is, I forget the city, but somewhere he saw a cart, a very poor man that looked, I forget the detail, looked very incapable, meager in his appearance, and the wife was by his side and very attentively taking care of him, disfigured, deformed, but the wife was faithfully serving the husband, taking care of her husband. So that's unique, and Prabhupada was honoring it. Or another example is riding on a tanga, and the husband is there, the wife is there with the child in her arms, riding on the tonga with some load or something, and he was a tonga puller, or whatever it's called. And she's faithfully there with her husband. So he's not, you know, opulent, but whether opulent, not opulent, the faithfulness is a power. And here we are in Vrindavan. I mean, there's many things that can be said in our modern society where men are not qualified. Here's something the Prabhupada said about, specifically about women's liberation. He was not fond of it. But then to the men, he said, the reason the women do this is because men aren't qualified. There's no protection. So they want protection. They don't have shelter of Krishna, so they do that thing. It's the cause, the root is men are not qualified in this age. That was what he was pointing to. So not just like the women are supposed to be faithful and chaste to their husband, and the men can be whatever they are. It's a dynamic, it's a two-way dynamic of necessity, which is hard to find in the age of Kali, qualified men and qualified women. So, but the combination is very powerful. So here we have qualified, there, this is Vrindavan, and there's brahmanas, and they're elevated. Mantra, tantra, visharada, we know this celebrated verse in the Bhagavatam, that such persons that know all these things, but they don't have the right conclusion, then they're covered by Maya. And that's what the brahmanas are saying in the previous verse. Because we didn't know the conclusion. But the verse prior to that, now they're understanding Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A little light went on. So how did that little light go on? Through the association of their qualified wives. Not the mantra, tantra, visharada part, you know, the brahminical qualifications that they had. And the cultural point is, the brahmana, certainly Krishna, respects this. The brahmana is meant to be the spiritual master of the whole society. Whatever one's position is, Krishna honored brahmanas. Krishna honors brahmanas, not only Sudama, but he honors brahmanas. It's just his, it's not just teaching by example, it's Krishna honors brahmanas. There's a nice statement in the Sudama Brahman story that I can easily forgo this and that and the other thing, but not a brahmana. Or Ram says something similar in Ramayana, to Sita, I can easily forego this and that and the other thing, including you, but not the brahmanas. I have to. This is the superlative importance. So as brahmanas are very dear to Krishna, in the cultural dimension, the brahmanas and the husbands are the guru of society, and their wives and their in-laws and their everything else. That's their position. So that's the bodily designation, cultural point. We don't trash cultural points because it's rooted in a bodily conception. We honor them, but we need to know why we're honoring them. What's the purpose, the ultimate goal? So they're recognizing that their wives who transgressed what they knew their husbands wanted, and they went anyways. That's in part of this dynamic. And by that open-heartedness and wanting to be in service to Krishna, their hearts flooded with affection and attachment for Krishna by his personal association. There's this, just on that point, there's this nice section of Brihat Bhagavatamrita where Gopa Kumar goes to Tapoloka and he meets the Kumaras. He doesn't know who they are, but then he finds out who they are. And it has discussion with Pipalayana Rishi, one of the great souls that are perfected in the art of meditation. And Pipalayana Rishi makes a high-sounding argument, which is, why are you trying to see Madan Gopal? We see Madan Gopal all the time. And the argument goes that the seeing is with the eyes, but before the eyes see, there's a seeing from the mind. And then the eyes can see. So just sit down and do meditation, you can see Madan Gopal. What's the problem? And, you know, it sounds nice. And then there's some further detail about the seeing of the eyes, besides being dependent upon the seeing of the mind, it's not complete, and they make a false argument that the eyes cannot see transcendence. But if the eyes can't see transcendence, the counter-argument is, how can the mind see transcendence? It is by the mercy of the personality of Godhead. So, but Gopal Kumar keeps going, and later on, the Vaikunthavasis, they congratulate him. Nice going, Gopal Kumar, because you wanted to see the personality of Godhead. So here's the wives of the Brahmanas, who most likely had heard of Krishna, because as soon as the invitation was there to do some service for Krishna, they came running. And then when they saw Krishna, something happened. They became so ecstatic that when they went back, they just, without reserve, without the normal, what one would expect, the reserve of the wife of a qualified brahmana, they're exhibiting symptoms of ecstasy and calling out Krishna's name in the way that is described here. So now, different husbands might react a little differently than that one. But these, because they had received the fullness of Krishna's mercy, and thus the ecstasy of prema had erupted, that had some impact on their husbands. Then they could understand Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the way of transcendental realization. And for us, we're given this opportunity through sound to receive the same. Now, where what the transmitter of the sound is important. And the transmitter of the sound is Shukadeva Goswami. Written by Vyasadeva and commented upon by our acharyas and our founder acharya. Now, in this case, Prabhupada didn't get this far as chapter 23, so it's devotees of Prabhupada taking the commentary of our acharyas and presenting them. Would you like to know a secret? Everybody likes secret. Yeah, what's a secret? Dravida, we all know Dravida because he comes here regularly. Dravida was editing this portion of Srimad Bhagavatam that Prabhupada didn't translate. So he knows the inside story about this portion of Srimad Bhagavatam that Prabhupada didn't translate. So the inside story is Hridayananda Maharaj, being the zonal acharya at the time and PhD in Sanskrit, his name was affixed to the work. But the inside story is Gopi Pranadana did the work. And Hridayananda Maharaj overlooked it. There are some sections that Dravida pointed out to me. They're a little more long-winded. And those were Hridayananda Maharaj's work. But most of the work was Gopi's work. And Gopi is a high-fidelity person. I just was in Houston with Keshava Bharati Maharaj, who loves Gopi and associated with Gopi very intimately for a long period of time, specifically with Brihat Bhagavatamrita. And he was sharing some interesting... I'll just share two things with you that Keshava Bharati... I just pushed the... Can you glorify Gopi Pranadana Prabhu button? And he it was hard for him to stop. He shared two things. One of them was Gopi wouldn't translate unless he could actually understand, not just like notionally, conceptually, but enter into the mystery of Sanatana Goswami's writing and his commentary. And he would sit on it, go over it and over it, but not intellectually, from his heart, because intellectually is one thing and from the heart is another thing. He knew the difference. So there were two passages. This is Keshava Bharati sharing with me. There are two passages that he couldn't feel its meaning. So he didn't, he just paused over there. And it didn't come through, and so he went to one scholar, Sanskrit scholar, that he has high regard for. Out of all of the Sanskrit scholars that he had interaction with, there was one, didn't give me the name. And when he went to the man said, interesting, those same two passages are passages that I couldn't understand. So he continued the pause. Until whatever descending mercy came, and then he could understand, and then he translated it. So that's what we're getting is, high fidelity. Subal was sharing with me, in the recording industry, they're moving away, some people are moving away from the digital version of recordings and going back to the plastic LP system because the fidelity is better, something like that. So if you're interested in fidelity, Gopi's a great source. And so there's a section in Brihat Bhagavatamrita which covers this very topic, and the message is, of course, it's similar to what we're receiving here because this is Gopi's work. And taking the commentary of the acharyas and not just this verse, the whole section, and we're getting the message of our previous acharyas. And when you get the message of the previous acharyas, we may not understand, probably don't understand in fullness, but the potency is there because of high fidelity. It's so important to receive with that high fidelity, because otherwise the potency is lost, as Krishna says. in Bhagavad Gita. Intellect is insufficient. Bhakti is necessary. And bhakti that's unmixed is, and being fastidious to be a recipient of the message of disciplic succession, so we can get the full potency. So here's the wives becoming honored thereafter, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Thereafter, the husbands are honoring their wives as their guru, or gurus, plural. And how did that happen? The brahmanas and their wives were resident in Vrindavan. That's a great qualification. But the husbands are saying we were covered by Maya, and the wives were not able to fully perceive or realize the ecstasy of Krishna prema until they had Krishna's association. So Krishna gave them the opportunity to have his personal darshan, and it was through a leela. The leela goes, going back a while, when the cowherd boys left home, they had lunches. They weren't, their mothers didn't let them go hungry. They had lunches. But they said to Krishna early in the day, "We're hungry." And Krishna could have said, "Well, have your lunch early if you're hungry." But he didn't say that. He said what he said. And the function, so what was the function? It's deep. He wanted to give prema in its fullness to the wives so they can give, you know, elevated consciousness, relieve the brahmanas from the maya that was covering them so they could understand Krishna through the agency of their wives, because they weren't qualified. And their wives were qualified for prema. Very deep. That's in Vrindavan. What to speak of in Chicago? Now, how are we, covered as we are, and attached, you know, specifically as the mention is, no longer attached to family and children and husband. So it's not like, you know, they took sannyas or something like that. They just like said, "I'm out of here. Go into the forest." That's not what they did. But they carried on without attachment. That's an ecstatic love for Krishna. This is Rupa Goswami's teaching, because it's Lord Chaitanya's teaching, because it's the Bhagavatam teaching. We carry out our prescribed duties without attachment. Who does that? Well, the queens, excuse me, the wives of the brahmanas do that, and the those who are have understood properly, there's a means, but it's not the end. And once you have reached the end, this is Rupa Goswami's teaching, you continue to follow the vidhis of sadhana bhakti, even you're on the prema stage or bhava bhakti stage, unless there's something that directly conflicts with the ecstatic love for Krishna, and then there's no fault. But otherwise, one follows. Not to achieve something, like that's a discussion in Bhagavad Gita. "Well, you know, what if I come to the stage of perfection?" Well, Krishna says, "Well, then you'll still do your prescribed duty to teach." We're not authorized. It's a false conception. Say it softer. It's an immature conception to think that now that we're devotees, we're above the law, we're above, you know, codes of conduct. That was going on for some time in the early days of the Hare Krishna movement. I won't tell you what some of the brainless things that were done in the name of, well, we're devotees because everything belongs to Krishna. So we just take it. One of the milder ones was in Los Angeles. There's lots of flowers in people's front yards. So the devotees would go around in the morning and stealing flowers from people's front yards. And, you know, the people didn't like that. So because they didn't like that, they didn't like the devotees and they didn't like the Hare Krishna movement because the devotees were misrepresenting the teachings. And so it had to stop. So it's a misunderstanding. The flowers belong to Krishna. Offer them to Krishna. They're not offering them to Krishna. We'll offer them to Krishna. That'll give blessings to the people in their homes. Because their flowers in their front yard was now offered to Krishna. They get spiritual benefit. We act according to codes of society. But there are circumstances. A nice example of this, pointed in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a couple of them, but when Sanatan Goswami bribed the jailkeeper, we don't bribe, but he bribed the jailkeeper, and he gave the jailkeeper a nice lie to tell in case he got in trouble. And the lie was, well, if you know your superior, the Qazi, says you did something wrong, oh, well, he had to pass stool, and he went to the bank of the river, and he jumped in the river with his chains on, and I looked for him, and I couldn't find him. So you won't be blamed. And then Prabhupada's explanation is because there's a higher cause, higher purpose. It's delicate. But there are circumstances, of course. Yudhisthira saying Ashwatthama's dead and other examples. But ordinarily we follow what are prescribed, aside from moral codes, we follow prescribed duty. So one might call Krishna immoral. He was inspiring Arjuna to fight, and fighting is, killing is bad. Not just fighting, killing is bad. Killing is bad. Go kill. Etc. So what the wives of the brahmanas were doing is a transgression. It's a cultural point. It's a transgression of culture. Because culture says it looks like this. But fortunately, their husbands could understand by the virtue of the association of their prema-filled wives. Some water. So it's that's the goal. A very interesting way to get there. Krishna's pastime. Any discussion? Nityananda Prand is in the back, and then Parama Karuna.
He can do the running. The red light on them.
Okay, this one's also red.
When we read the purport and the cultural point that's being mentioned, it seems to indicate that the wives of the brahmanas were inspired by...
Don't put the whole thing. Just come on. Then go ahead.
Yeah, were inspired by conjugal love for Krishna.
Yes, not just... I mean, there, thank you. Spiritual master is mentioned a number of times, but specifically conjugal. And that comes from a previous text. Their words, Krishna's words to the wives, are almost verbatim what Krishna says to the gopis when they came in the dead of night. Conjugal. So
I'm just trying to, in terms of the Krishna's pastimes in different age groups, so this is still, he's 10 or 11 years old. So that's how he has inspired them. So it's specifically conjugal love, and that's why the cultural point keeps on coming up. I mean, I don't have an objection. I'm just trying to appreciate it.
Well, the Dandak forest rishis having conjugal attraction towards Ram. What's that about?
Yeah.
You know, they're beyond the bodily conception. That's how, what that's about.
And the second one is... in the context of Niyamagraha, which is one of the aspects of this pastime, and connecting it to what you had said about devotees in the early times plucking flowers from anyone's garden. So in one sense, there is a parallel that the Brahmanas did not give what they had reserved for the yajna easily away, but the wives did. However, the distinction which is important for me, and that's what I'm asking, is that the wives actually had ecstatic symptoms versus an intellectualized, everything belongs to Krishna.
Well, where the ingredients came from what they offered is not as clear to me as what you just said. Maybe in their homes. Maybe they didn't take from the yajna paraphernalia and made offerings. They had attraction, but it wasn't necessarily the spontaneous. No, it was enough. The commentary makes it clear. They didn't go to their husbands because there's some understanding their husbands would object. Now, these are just boys. Why would they object to go feeding boys? That's what mothers do. They feed boys when they say they're hungry. So were they before seeing Krishna in this ecstatic space? They had attachment for Krishna, yes.
Maharaj, you told that one should follow the regulative principle of sadhana bhakti, even if it is a stage of prema, even if it's a stage of perfection, unless it is obstructing his seva to Krishna. Just want to understand that, can we understand this way that the person who is level of who at the level of perfection, he keeps on doing his sadhana bhakti principles, because to get more nectar from there, or just to just to do prescribed duties?
That's an interesting interpretation. I've never heard that from Rupa Goswami's teachings or explanations of his teachings. It's not because there's nectar as much as it's pleasing to Krishna. And therein lies nectar, but it's the activities of sadhana, even in the sadhana stage, it's pleasing to Krishna. And there's some things that are not pleasing to Krishna, so we don't do those things. Because it's pleasing to Krishna. And not only because it's a path to get us to where we want to go. It's not only because it's a path to get us to the goal. But the goal is pleasing Krishna, and so it's So like, you know, what we offer and don't offer, Krishna likes and Krishna doesn't like. So we offer what he likes. And we offer with love and devotion, but we offer, the vidhi is, we'll offer what he likes. Does that answer your question or no?
Yes, it answered my question, but the result of pleasing Krishna is to get more nectar.
Say it again slower.
Sorry, the result, anyone, maybe I'm wrong, the person is getting nectar because he is pleasing Krishna by his actions of sadhana bhakti, maybe the action of bhava bhakti or prema bhakti to Krishna. That's why he's getting nectar. So can we understand that way?
I couldn't follow what you were saying.
So you told that our goal is to please Krishna. So
yes.
Whatever action is doing, he is
yes.
to please Krishna. So the why the person is getting nectar?
The wise person?
Why? The question, why the person is getting nectar? Because he, by his actions, directly or indirectly, he's pleasing Krishna.
Well, yes, directly or indirectly. In other words, or I would say, there's degrees of pleasure because there's degrees of pleasing Krishna. Supposing somebody takes prasadam, that's pleasing to Krishna. Supposing somebody recognizes Krishna has tasted this. Now, what is that? The pleasure of that person is different than the person who's just taking prasadam, and Krishna is pleased by both. The pleasure is going to vary depending upon the consciousness behind the act. The purpose of the act is not just so that the person who takes prasadam gets pleasure. The purpose is Krishna's pleasure, and therefore there's pleasure.
If the person doesn't like to act in a prescribed manner because his adhikar is to act in a different way, but just to teach the society, he has to come down to the stage which he is not at, and still has to do which he doesn't like it.
That's, you know, if I've understood your comment correctly, that's Krishna's mercy. When people hear Harinam, the Sankirtan party is out on the street and they are hearing Harinam. Prabhupada's comment is, they may understand, they may not understand. They may appreciate, they may not appreciate. Their lives are becoming elevated just by hearing the sound. It creates an atmosphere of auspiciousness. Then there's degrees of the happiness that one may feel. The initial is, I don't like it. Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj told the story when he was living in London. He had a job in an office, and he would walk along whatever the street was where the Harinam party would go. And they were sometimes on this side and sometimes on that side. And his program was when he saw the Harinam party, he'd go on the other side of the street to avoid the Harinam party. He had aversion, but it had an impact. Now, it'll kind of have a different impact on different people. Okay. Sure.
So Brahmanas were considering their wives as a spiritual master. But when we read the story later on, when they were supposed to go to Krishna, they were scared going to Krishna because they were scared of the society or rugs, something like that. I don't know. Actually, they were not able to go to Krishna even though they understood that the wives are correct.
I'd have to look at the section to be able to respond. You know what? This isn't going to happen right now. Subal? Okay, go ahead. Go right in front of you. And then Subal.
Maharaj, in the purport, there was an interesting point that after the brahmanas realized that their wives were spiritually elevated, and they considered them not as wives but as spiritual masters. Now, in a relationship between a husband and wife, where there is a difference in spiritual consciousness, one is, let's say, elevated and one is a beginner, and if the person is not willing to accept the other in that position, then how does one reconcile, or what is the approach for reconciliation?
It gets delicate. But you know, so just a comment, it's not that they no longer saw them as wives, but they no longer treated them as property, like some men treat their wives. And, you know, so the other part is, you know, it's delicate. So it's like Gandhari. She didn't change her position of being the chaste wife. Or Tara, the wife of Vali. She was very elevated. But she maintained her position. So, and in that way, she was helping her husband understand things that he couldn't otherwise understand because of, you know, the modes of nature. So, it depends. A lot depends on how the dynamic flows depends on the relationship. And so, there can be lots of variations of the theme of, you know, the model that you just described. One thing that doesn't change is Krishna is to be pleased, and you know the cultural point is to be honored, and then you know the third is depending upon the circumstance, one may, if it interferes with one's Krishna bhakti, one may overstep the cultural point. But it depends. And there's many, you know, current stories, you know, experiences of women that struggled, and then when they understood, let me try a different approach, then the different approach allowed their husbands, resulted in their husbands becoming more elevated just by having the right cultural disposition. It doesn't always work that way. Sometimes husbands are abusive and it invites abuse. So that's a transgression that you know, a good Krishna conscious wife, that's the line. But it's a principle. We had this discussion in Potomac, I forget what the section of the Bhagavatam was, but Ananda Vrindavan, do you know her? From Potomac Temple, she's the president. She and some other leaders, men and women, have become more aware of in ISKCON how there's abuse from the husbands to the wives. Now, I know some cases where it's abuse of the wife to the husband, but where there's abuse, that there's a line. So you draw some lines. You don't just continue when there's abuse. But in general, the wife can be a source of strength to help the husband become more spiritually advanced. It happens. It's beautiful when it happens. And it's a spiritual principle. That even if it doesn't like over a period of time, the husband becomes this, you know, self-effulgent, elevated devotee, it will help the husband become more fixed in bhakti and less in the lower modes of nature, in principle. And the detail has to be looked at depending upon the details, the circumstance, the relationship, and so on.
Guru Maharaj, In previous verses, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments about this Kripa Shakti or this Kripa Siddha as a very rare thing. And I was just thinking how the Brahmanas became actually enlivened, and their whole perspective and the whole understanding of Krishna and approach towards Krishna completely changed from the beginning of the pastime, and actually was offensive in one sense and disregarding, and now they're acknowledging and appreciating and feeling remorse and understanding. So that extreme change without any effort on themselves, in one sense, they receive this mercy from Krishna to be able to understand.
Nice point.
You mentioned it. Well, how exactly and why, for persons that are so opposed in one sense, you know, I mean, we hear about Krishna's reciprocation, so why and how has it worked, this Kripa Shakti of the Lord?
Yadrich Chaya. Somehow or other. Because it's Krishna's nature that he's merciful. And who can say, that's how we started off by saying, you know, Krishna's pastimes are very difficult to understand. They're very profound and difficult to understand. So why? You know, what did he, why did Jad Bharat choose to speak to Rahugana when he was speaking to nobody? He saw something. I mean, that's my understanding. He saw something, and so he spoke. He gave his mercy in a way that he didn't before. So whatever is the inspiration from he who doesn't need inspiration, Krishna, the all-independent Supreme Lord, why he showed that special mercy, who can say? Yadrich Chaya, somehow or another. But one thing we can know for sure, Krishna wants that living entities become happy. And he performed a pastime where the wives made their husbands happy, in a transcendental happy. Who can understand? Just reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Krishna Das Kaviraj was saying the same thing about Lord Chaitanya. Who can understand? His pastimes are so deep. Who can understand? And then his comment is, only one who has, well, I forget the adjective, absolute faith, something like that, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they can get a glimpse of understanding. So, who can say? Oh, Yadrich Chaya, Krishna wanted. So why not everybody? Why those guys, the brahmanas who had offended? He knew before he sent the cowherd boys what they would do. So why did he send them? Because then now they made an offense, and now that you know that's an artha that wasn't there before, because he wanted to remove it. Pastime. Ask Krishna why. Anything on the ladies' side? Yes, two. Then we're going to end. Krishna Archana.
Sharampa Swami, we're talking about the depth of the Krishna's pastime, and also looking at that whole cultural component in this pastime.
Mm.
there was one commentary a few verses back by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, where he said that Krishna was morose because the wives of the brahmanas had broken their vows. So it seems that cultural component is very important to Krishna too. So I'm just bringing that up, that there was one part where Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was saying that Krishna was actually very morose that the brahmanas' wives had broken their vows. So presumably that means to their husbands by leaving.
It sounds like you're responding to Nityananda Prahn's question.
Oh, I don't know.
Which was, when they left their home, they knew they were transgressing something that their husbands wanted. But what their husbands wanted was interfering with their spontaneous attraction for Krishna. And when there's spontaneous attraction for Krishna, then you got a license. And there's no penalty for violating a cultural element. Is that your point? You weren't making that connection. But it is.
Thank you that you did. That's very nice.
Am I touching on your point?
Yes.
Okay.
Maharaj, I was appreciating the method you shared for reading Prabhupada's purports, like looking at the main idea and the cultural ideas. Mm. And I wasn't sure, I'm sure you mentioned it, but I wasn't sure if I caught the main idea of this verse. And I was wondering if you could share so I can see how we dissect a verse to understand the cultural points.
How we do what?
Dissect the verse to see the main points.
Dissect the verse? How do you go about it?
Yeah.
From the heart, okay. Not from the head. Is that good enough? The head is, you know, let's say Professor Puffy Wuffy, he has a really sharp intellect. And the real sharp intellect person looks at it and says, you know, with his intellect, this is it. And that's not adequate. There may be something very important in what Professor Puffy Wuffy says and sees. But what's the essence? The main point is the essence, that the what makes the Krishna connection possible, like, you know, the oomph. That this was a word that Keshava Bharti was using yesterday at breakfast, oomph. His point was that when an intellectual person, you know, some of us, I'm one of them, have a very strong tendency to be analytical. It's part of my nature. It's, you know, science and math, and, you know. And then if that's all that's going on, it's inadequate. And you can get something, but you won't get the essence. So the main point is what carries the essence forward through this verse and purport. When we're making the main points, we need to not only look at the verse, but especially we need to look at the purport. So this, I'm adding to the answer that I gave you. It's, you know, from the heart. So how do you get from the heart? Well, that's bhakti. And then you hear. As opposed to, you know, what Radha Gopal and those of us that were being introduced that this was called secondary points. And Purijan also, the main point and secondary points. So, important, but the essence is the essence, the main point is the essence, and the essence is that which helps us most connect with Krishna. So that's the discerning factor. So in doing that, we're using our intelligence. It's a discerning function. What's the main point? But if we, it's a little bit, Nityananda Pran's point, that niyamagraha, you can follow without knowing the purpose. So what's the main point is that which connects us with Krishna most. That's the main point. And Prabhupada's purports give that. We would very quickly, I'm going to end. Prabhupada didn't want just Bhagavad Gita that has no purport so we can memorize the verses, because we wouldn't understand the purpose of the verse. So now we're at the purport. How do you understand the purpose of the purport? Because there's many things that are said. So the bhakti is to please Krishna, and when the bhakti pleasing Krishna principle is where you're operating from, functioning from, then dadami buddhi yogam tam, Krishna will give the understanding. So you just keep focusing on Krishna is to be pleased. What's this message to help me understand how Krishna is to be pleased? And you keep that operative, and you'll be better able to understand the main point. Bhakti principle. So we'll end. Srila Prabhupada.